I'd ask you to take your Bibles once more and turn back to the passage that we read earlier in Matthew chapter 13. We'll be looking particularly at verse 45, which you'll find on page 980, Matthew 13. And I'll read verses 44 and 45 once again. Matthew 13, verses 44 and 45. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Treasure. Don't imagine I need to explain treasure to anybody. Even the youngest of us here know what treasure is. Something of exceedingly great value. Treasure is the stuff that pirates spend their lives hunting for, hiding it, digging it up later. Something that men would often give their very life to obtain. In verse 45 and 46, we are told that the kingdom of heaven, and this is a phrase that crops up again and again in chapter 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Verse 44 speaks of treasure generally, but verses 45 and 46 speak of a pearl. Now, in the culture in which our Lord was speaking, the pearl was, in some senses, equivalent to a diamond today. That's the kind of sense of value that we should have. It was an imperial gem. You know the phrase, probably casting pearls before swine. That's a phrase that comes from our Lord's mouth in Matthew chapter 7. And you perhaps know that to a Jew, pork, pig meat, was unclean. Pigs were the lowest kind of animal. So when you talk about casting pearls before swine, you're talking about something of the greatest possible value that is being thrown before something of the most despicable kind. It's a contrast of great extremes. In the book of Revelation, speaking of the kingdom of God as it comes down from heaven, the gates of the city are made of one great pearl. And when you hear that, you're meant to say, wow, a pearl? One glorious huge pearl out of which is carved an entire gate? It's representative of the splendor, the majesty, the imperial wonder of the kingdom of God. And here, our Lord Jesus uses this idea of a pearl to describe the kingdom of heaven. To describe what it means to be saved from your sins through faith in Jesus Christ and to come into possession of all the blessing and mercy of God. Pardon for our sins. Adoption into the family of the Most High God. The pearl of great price, the pearl of unspeakable value, is a picture of blessings that money cannot buy, that riches cannot guarantee, that moth and rust cannot destroy, that thieves cannot steal, and that death itself cannot end. The kingdom of heaven is the greatest and brightest good, the highest and chief blessing that anybody could hope to obtain. And our Lord uses this picture of a merchant who is seeking pearls to show us what it's like when a man seeks and obtains Christ Jesus and in him the blessings of the kingdom of God. And all I want to do this morning is to follow the pearl merchant. We're just going to walk after him, see what he does, why he does it, and learn from this thoughtful, earnest, and wise man. Because the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. We'll see the merchant seeking, finding, selling, and buying. Those are the four steps in his odyssey: seeking, finding, selling, and buying. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. You've got here a very deliberate act, a deliberate act. He's not just wandering around, he's looking for something specific. Perhaps this morning, or not far behind you, you remember losing something. The car keys or the house keys went back down to the sofa, the settee again. Or you put something down and you've got to go and find it. You don't just wander around your home. You actually set out hunting for something. Your energy, your attention, your mind and your heart are engaged. You're actually trying to accomplish something, and you go about with the view of seeking. You give all due diligence to finding something. You're investing in the process. This merchant is actually looking. He's hunting. He is seeking. And he's seeking something very specific, a definite object. A merchant seeking beautiful pearls. This man knows what he's about. He knows what he's trying to find. If you ask him, what are you looking for? He'll tell you, I'm a pearl merchant and I'm looking for pearls. He is not an aimless man. His seeking is not wandering. It is specific hunting after pearls. That's wisdom. There's this romantic notion that we'll often hear today that somehow there's a wonder in just searching, just looking. Someone says, perhaps on the street, you've heard people say, well, I'm just looking. You have a conversation with someone about truth. Oh, I'm a searcher. And it sounds so impressive, doesn't it? I'm a seeker. Who are you? I'm the searcher. Nice. What are you looking for? I couldn't tell you. Well, that's not so romantic. That's not so special. It sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Some shadowy figure, a man of deep thought and careful insight, but he's got no idea what he's after. That's not wise. That's dumb. That's not romantic. That's foolish. This merchant was looking for something particular. He was looking for pearls. If you're not looking for something, you'll not find anything. This man was after something definite and substantial. A very worthy object. Notice the adjective. A merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Beautiful pearls. There's discrimination in this man's search. There's care here. He knows the difference between something worth having and something that is not. You know the difference between genuine pearls and cultured pearls? You ladies need to, because your husband might come home, perhaps, or a boyfriend gives you a gift of pearls. Pearls are formed when a very small object drifts into an oyster, and then over time, this secretion from the oyster builds up around this tiny bit of stuff to make this beautiful and lustrous pearl. But you can speed the whole process up by dropping quite a big chunk of rock, almost the size of perhaps a piece of gravel, into the oyster. And then very quickly you end up with something that looks big, but it's only got a few layers of this oyster's secretions around it. And a real pearl merchant will be able to say, now this is a genuine pearl. This is something that has naturally developed. This is genuinely valuable. But this is a cultured pearl. And this is of no value, relatively speaking, compared with the other. Someone says, I brought you something beautiful. Well, it may look beautiful, but it may be mainly rock. This man is seeking genuine pearls. Beautiful pearls, something of real and lasting value. He doesn't just want any old rubbish. He's looking for something worth having, and he set out to find it. He is seeking beautiful pearls. And everybody here today, one way or another, is a merchant. We're all trading one way or another. We're all setting out to obtain something in life. The way we think, our appetites, our desires, they're all focused on something that we believe is worth having. It may be wealth, it may be honor, reputation, perhaps it's learning, pleasure, health, friendship, some other kind of blessing. Perhaps you want to go a bit deeper. Why are you here? Well, I want peace. I want to know the truth. I want real happiness. Perhaps some of you have come and you say, I want to know this life in Jesus that I see my friends have, that I see my parents have, my brothers and sisters, or my sons and my daughters. We ought to be seeking that which is worth having. The question is, what is worth having? We cannot afford to be aimless. We must seek something that is worth pursuing. And there's a sense then in which, like this merchant, we are all seeking. To some extent, I would wager that all of us, or almost all of us, are looking for something worth having in our life. That's what drives us. That's what keeps us going. But you see that this merchant is not only a seeker, he is a finder. When he found one pearl of great value, a pearl of great price. Now it seems that the merchant didn't expect to find this kind of pearl. He hadn't anticipated coming across this. This is an unimagined treasure. This is something of incalculable value. This is an unexpected delight. It's a unique treasure. The sense of the language is one pearl, a particular pearl, one remarkable gem. This man has finally set his eyes upon the ultimate treasure. Compared with every other pearl he has ever seen, this one stands out by a country mile. This is the best, the most beautiful, the most valuable pearl he's ever come across. It outvalues everything he's ever found. He may have been on a trading trip, he may have a bag full or even a chest full of other pearls. But when he sees this pearl, when he finds this one pearl, everything else pales into relative insignificance. And it is a precious treasure. It's described as being of great value or great price. Precious beyond calculation. There is nothing to compare with this pearl for beauty or value. And this merchant is entranced the moment he sets his eyes on this pearl. He is persuaded, I must have this thing. Above everything else I've ever seen before, I must obtain this. Whatever the cost, whatever the terms I am offered. Now this man is a merchant. He knows how to do a deal. But the sense seems to be that all of a sudden he says, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. You wouldn't go and buy a house, would you, and say to the person with whom you're negotiating, I love this house. Name your price. Anything you want. You barter, don't you? But this man is so entranced, so overwhelmed, so caught up by the genuine value of this unspeakably beautiful, this uniquely precious gem, that his heart fixes on it at once and says, I must have this thing. Name your price. What will it take? Got to have this pearl. What is this a picture of? The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who finds one pearl of great price. It's a picture of a man who sees and appreciates the eternal, lasting, unspeakable value of salvation in Jesus Christ and an entitlement to the kingdom of heaven. It is Jesus Christ in whom all treasures are found. It is the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus that is worth having above all other things. The kingdom of heaven is so precious Jesus Christ is so valuable, so uniquely delightful, that no other thing, no collection of other things can possibly rival Him. Everything that we need for this and the life to come is found in Jesus. It is wrapped up, bound up in Him. The blessings of the kingdom of God are brought to bear upon people like us in Jesus Christ. Are we sinners? In Jesus there is pardon for our sins. Our hearts are impure, but Jesus' blood can wash us clean and make us whole. By nature, we are at enmity with God. There is a rebellion in our hearts against God. But Jesus can bring us back so that God becomes our God and our Father. And He adopts us into His kingdom. By the grace of Jesus Christ, those who can find no power and no desire even for holiness, they find in Christ grace, and from Him the Spirit, whereby we are enabled to cry out to God as our Father, and in the power of that Spirit to work out holiness of life. We have no strength to keep ourselves, but in Christ there is strength to keep us to the very end. We have no right or title to heaven, but in Christ Jesus we are called sons of God, and heaven is ours by God-given right. And when a sinner sees himself and Christ Jesus accurately, he's standing in the shoes of this merchant. He's been looking for something worth having. He knows there must be something worth having. Perhaps he's pursued it in any number of different directions. He's looked in a number of different places. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who, having been searching for something of value, finds in Christ and salvation by Him something of unspeakable worth, something of overwhelming blessing. And the sinner who knows his own heart, the person who knows their own need, who recognizes themselves as needing a Savior, as by nature cut off from God, under the power of Satan and in the kingdom of darkness, that man, that woman, that boy or girl looks to Jesus Christ and in Him sees everything that could possibly be desired for joy and peace and everlasting blessing, and says, "That's what I want. Whatever it takes. That's what I must have. I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart does sing for joy." Is that how you see yourself in Jesus Christ? You sit here this morning. How do you evaluate these things? When you look at your own heart, consider your own life, think about the things perhaps you've been seeking. To some extent, perhaps you've even been finding some of them, and yet there's that nagging feeling that this is not worth having. Perhaps you've given your life's energy, the powers of your mind and of your body and even of your soul, seeking something worth having. Finding and keeping. And you haven't found it yet. There are many people. The reason why they're not yet Christians is because they're not yet persuaded that the kingdom of heaven is a pearl of great price. That salvation in Christ Jesus is worth obtaining at any price. How do you see Jesus Christ as you sit here this morning? You see Him as the world sees Him, pointless, despicable, foolish, empty, worthless, valueless. I don't even want to know if you see Him like I see Him or like any other believer here sees Him. To His Father, He's altogether lovely. To the Father, He is the Saviour of sinners, the one in whom His soul delights, in whom He is well pleased. And the Father has given Him to His people to deliver us from our sins. And the one then who sees Jesus truly, recognizing our own need, says, I must have him. Whatever it takes, whatever it needs. We see the emptiness of everything else. And we see in him a treasure all divine. What do you see in the kingdom? Well, if you see what this merchant saw in the pearl of great price, you'll move on to the third step, if you like. We've seen the seeking of beautiful pearls, the finding of one pearl of great price. Now we come to selling. He went and sold all that he had. He went and sold all that he had. He gave up everything in order to obtain this one unspeakably precious pearl. All the fruits of his trading so far, everything else he's got, is all offered up without hesitation, absolutely and entirely. Now, are we saying that you can buy salvation? Absolutely not. But the sense of it is this, in the words again of Matthew Henry, whatever stands in opposition to Christ or in competition with him for our love and service, we must cheerfully quit it. That is, we must cheerfully leave it behind, though it be ever so dear to us. That's the sense of this selling. Whatever stands in opposition to Jesus Christ, whatever is a rival for our affections to and attachment to him, those things need to be put utterly away in order that we might obtain Jesus Christ. You can't grab hold of something if your hand is already full of something else. If I were drowning in those waters outside of us, and perhaps I had my hands full of something that I wanted to keep, and a lifeboat drew alongside, I'm going to have to leave everything else in order to lay hold of that act of saving me. I've got a son who's 3 years old. He fell down the stairs a few days ago. I rushed out to see what the problem was. The bottom of the stairs is just outside my study door, and he was lying there flat on his face on the floor. I picked him up. I'd heard the lumps and the thumps and the bumps as he came down the stairs. I comforted him. I thought there was something wrong with his right hand. I said, Caleb, open your hand. Are you okay? Can you move your fingers? You know why he'd fallen? He'd got some money out of his money box. He couldn't hang on to the rail as he came down, because his hand was full of copper. And you know, all the way down the stairs, he hung on to the money. He was still holding on when he hit the bottom. If he'd let go, he might have been able to hang on to something that would save him. That's the sense. That's the sense. This merchant said, I can't keep everything else and have this pearl. The sinner says, I can't keep everything else and have Jesus Christ. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. No amount of doing, you see, no amount of giving will get you into the kingdom. You could offer to the elders or deacons of this congregation a check for £1 million on your way out of this building, and you'll be no closer to heaven, no closer to God. You might bring a smile to their face, but it's not going to do you any good in the eternal balances. You could sell everything you have. You could give everything you've got to good works. You could give your life over to the pursuit of doing good to other people. And that in and of itself isn't going to get you one inch closer to the kingdom of heaven. This rather then is the language of a necessary sacrifice in order to gain the rightful possession of something. That's the sense of selling. This merchant has to give up everything else in order to obtain rightful possession of this pearl of great price. And that's like the kingdom of heaven. We have to give up whatever impedes, whatever holds us away from Christ, whatever rivals Christ in our affections, if we are to obtain the blessings of life everlasting in him. If you are to obtain the kingdom of heaven this morning, you may need to give up wrong ideas and false beliefs. Wrong ideas and false beliefs. Perhaps you're told that Christianity is a nonsense. that it's all a fable. It's a crutch for the weak, for the mentally and spiritually infirm. That Christ never really did walk on the earth, or if he did, then he was just a good man. There's no heaven to worry about. There's no hell to avoid. That would be the hell of which Christ speaks, the place in which there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That would be the kingdom of heaven that is worth more than anything else besides. You're told perhaps that you could give money and you'll get into the kingdom. You can do penance. You can do good works that perhaps might balance up your bad works. And maybe, just maybe, at the end of the day, God will say, okay, you're a smidgen over the odds and the good works, they just outweigh the bad works. All right, fine, you can come into the kingdom. You may be told that pilgrimages, that particular labors or travels, gifts, confessions, that these things will bring you to God. That Allah will save you, that Buddha will save you, that there are other gods who can save you, that being spiritual is enough, that being a seeker is all that you need, that meditations upon truth and wonder and light will somehow bring you into the presence of God, that just being a nice person, a good man, a good woman, a pleasant neighbor, surely that's enough to get us into the kingdom. I tell you the truth, there is one way, and his name is Jesus Christ. There is one truth, and it is the truth as it is in Jesus of Nazareth. There is one life that is everlasting, and it is the life that is obtained by turning from all else and trusting in Jesus alone. It's simple faith in Jesus that obtains the kingdom of heaven for a sinner. Believe and you will be saved. And nothing else will work. And if you are clinging to some false notion, if you are clinging to some flawed idea, if you've picked up some well-meaning but nonsensical non-hope that men hold out in this world, you need to sell it. You need to sell it now. You need to let it go. You need to get rid of that in order that you may obtain the pearl of great price. Perhaps for some, you need to sell your sinful pleasures. Now, not pleasures altogether. Religion never was designed to make our pleasures less. True religion, the religion of the Bible, never strikes at legitimate joys and delights. Rather, it heightens them. It purifies them. But every pleasure tainted by sin must go if we are to obtain life in Christ Jesus. One of the apostles, Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, speaks in this way. 1 Peter 4, verses 3 and 4. We have spent enough of our past life in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, partying, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. He says of the people of God, in regard to these things, the people who are still doing those things think it's strange. They think it's very odd that you don't run in the way that they do and that perhaps you once did. These are the things that a true believer leaves behind in order to have Jesus Christ. You kiss goodbye to all carnality, to all worldliness, to all of the sins, sinful attractions and pleasures of this world. They're spoken of with regard to Moses as the passing pleasures of sin. Are there pleasures there? Yes, there are. But they are passing away and they are like a sweet poison that as you sip them down will eventually kill you. And this merchant says, as it were, away with everything that would entice my heart and draw me away from the kingdom of heaven, from life in Jesus Christ. Those things are not worth hanging on to. I let them go that I may lay hold on this one pearl. You may need to let go of reputation, sell worldly honor and prospects. You become a Christian, perhaps your family and friends are going to think you've gone weird. And not just wit, but really, you know, cult, sect. The things that you used to do, you don't do. You may look familiar, but boy, you're sure not the same person that you were a few days, a few weeks ago. You may be mocked. You may be slandered. You may be despised even. Some people have been utterly cut off on account of obtaining the kingdom of heaven. You need to weigh the cost. You need to count these things up. You may need to change your job if you're to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. There may be radical changes to your lifestyle. There may be places that you used to go that you can no longer go. Things that you used to say and do that you can no longer say and do. Aspirations that you once had to the fame and the fortune that this world says is worth having above all other things. I'm not saying you've applied for X Factor or what's the other one? I can't even remember the other one. But it holds it all out in the world's terms and says, seek this. This is the pinnacle of achievement. This is the height of blessing. How many people's hearts run out toward those things? Say, I want to be the next pop idol. I want to be the king of the world. And what will it profit your soul? What good will it do you in the eternal balance if you were to gain everything that this world offers in terms of reputation and honor and fame and fortune? Your soul were to perish and to pass into the place of darkness in which there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. There may be particular things, particular good things in themselves even, things close to your heart. But if you're to have the one pearl, you are going to have to let go. And you're going to have to let go of your own efforts to please God. You may have been trying very hard. You may have been doing everything that you can. You may have been praying and reading and trying to repent and trying to believe. And you've been saying, why isn't God pleased with these things? Why won't God hear me? Haven't I prayed enough? Haven't I repented enough? Haven't I believed enough? It's not a question of enough. Our best efforts, says the prophet Isaiah, they're like filthy rags. The best things that we can do are despicable in the eyes of a holy God. And how we tend to bring our religious efforts, our religious labors, our religious works and say, surely this merits a place in the kingdom. My friend, you need to sell those things. You need to let them go. You need to trade them off. It is not possible for a natural man to please God. Because the problem isn't with what you do. It's with what you are. And until you acknowledge yourself a wretched sinner who needs Jesus as he's presented in the Bible, all your working, all your trying, all your doing will accomplish nothing. No matter how precious it is to you. Sounds mad, doesn't it? Utterly insane. I suspect that's what the merchant heard when he dashed home and said, I've got to realize all my assets. All the profits of my former trade, got to sell them. The house, the latest chariot with the V12 and the alloy wheels, the finest Gucci togas, the latest camel leather and badger skin sandals. You think his wife had something to say about that if you were married? Sweetheart, are you sure you know what you're doing? How do you think he felt when he went into his home? Perhaps there were family heirlooms. Things that had been handed down from generation to generation. Things to which his heart really was attached. Stuff he perhaps had loved at one time. Things that had many associations for him. Places and pleasures and joys and blessings and efforts and labors. There's investment in these things. This is what he's been living for. People look at him and say, you see what's happened to him? He's giving it all up. He's walking away from it entirely. He keeps talking about this one pearl that he's found and he's realizing all his assets. But what happens when they call him mad? And what happens when he feels those tugs on his heartstrings? And what happens when the treasures he's accumulated are right there in front of his eyes? He thinks back and he says, I've seen the pearl. I've seen a treasure of incalculable value. And everything besides that pales into insignificance. It is worth giving up all of these things. Indeed, it is a blessing to lose them, if by these means I can obtain possession of the one pearl of great value. The kingdom of heaven is a gift in Christ Jesus freely given. But I warn you and I urge you this morning that it takes an empty hand to receive it. And you cannot have Christ and this world. You cannot have Christ and your sinful pleasures. You cannot follow Christ and be a pursuer of money. You cannot follow Christ and shy away from the path of the cross, of sacrifice, of true discipleship. A man who gains the kingdom is a man of high resolve. A man who has seen and recognizes the value of the one pearl of great price, and is willing to make all necessary sacrifices in order that he may obtain this thing, this one thing of unspeakable value. And he does. Seeking, finding, selling, and buying. The man gains rightful possession. Again, we're not talking about salvation as if it's some kind of commercial transaction. God, I'll give you this and you give me this back. It's the language of obtaining by right something. This man doesn't just find the pearl. Now it's his. He buys it for himself. It comes into his ownership. He can hold it in his hand and say, this is mine. There are some who say that Jesus Christ is a great Saviour. And he is. There are some will even say that he is the Saviour, the only Saviour of sinners. And that's also true. But what we need is to be able to say, he is a Saviour, he is the Saviour, and he is my Saviour. I am his, and he is mine. I have come into rightful possession of the kingdom of Jesus Christ the King. The merchant gave everything he had in order to obtain this one pearl of great price. Once he got everything together, he went and he bought it. He did it immediately. Once he'd recognized the value of this pearl, nothing will ever compare to this. He made the decision and he acted without delay. He doesn't wish to lose a minute, a second, in case he loses the pearl. He's made the right assessment. This thing is worth having at any price. And so he gives everything he has. He sells it as quickly as he can. He does not pause lest the opportunity be lost. My friend, you need to act with that kind of speed and urgency this morning. Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God are here before you, and you need to act now, not a moment to spare. This merchant acts willingly. No regrets here, no looking back. He doesn't go to get this pearl thinking, oh, it would be nice if I was riding in that chariot and I was wearing the... No, he says, I'm off to get the pearl. And if I walk there with barely the shirt on my back, it's this thing that is worth having at all costs. He gives everything readily. And he never desires the bargain undone. It's a willing, cheerful buying. There is delight in these things. I'm a Christian. I obtained the kingdom of heaven this morning. Jesus is my Saviour. Whoopee-doo. Really? Really? Life eternal? The joys of heaven itself? The blessings of everlasting peace? Of having God as our Father and our King? There is lasting joy in this merchant's heart over the prospect of having this pearl, of being in the, purchasing it and coming into possession. This is his heart's delight. If he can only get his hands on this, his joy will be full. He works and goes and buys immediately, willingly, cheerfully, and finally. See, the story ends here. No more searching. No more looking. No more hunting. He's found the one pearl of great value. This treasure of unspeakable price. It will never depreciate. His happiness is secured. It is not possible that he will ever find anything that will make him say, "I wish I had that rather than this." He's seen the true value of the pearl. And he no longer needs to look. His searching days are done. His trading life is over. He's found the ultimate, the highest, the best. So it is with the one who closes with Jesus Christ. Searching is done. No need to keep looking. The one who finds him, the one who is persuaded of his value, gladly heaps up everything else and casts it all aside in order to obtain Jesus Christ. Have you done that? If you have, are you still persuaded you have found the pearl of greatest price? Does your heart sing for joy because you are Christ's and Christ is yours? Do you know that there is nothing in earth or in heaven that you could ever find that will ever displace, outvalue, or overwhelm the excellence of the blessings of God that are held out to sinners in Jesus Christ? My friends, if you're a Christian, there's a sense in which it's already as good as it's ever going to get. Because everything for this life and the life which is to come, that brings lasting peace and joy and blessing and mercy, is yours in Christ and in his kingdom. Are you ready to do it if you haven't yet? Perhaps you've been searching for a long time. Perhaps you never even realized that you needed to be looking for something. Perhaps you weren't sure what you were looking for, although you knew you wanted something of lasting value. Pray that this morning you will have been persuaded of the unspeakable value, the overwhelming importance of salvation in Jesus Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ, the unspeakable blessings of the kingdom of God. You may be sitting there thinking, "Look at what I have to lose." I hope I speak on behalf of every Christian here. I say just what the merchant would say if he were standing here. Look at what you lose. Oh, my friend, look at what you gain. Look at what you get. Look at what you obtain. Put it next to all the things that you might lose. Compare it with everything else beside. And I tell you the truth, you will never have cause to regret giving up everything to obtain the kingdom of heaven in Christ. I tell you, you will search perhaps long and far, however long you go, however much you travel, wherever you look, it is not possible that you will ever find anything to compare with the beauty, the majesty, the splendor, the goodness, the mercy of God in Christ. There is before you this morning a pearl of unspeakable value. Kingdom of heaven. Christ and all the blessings that are bound up in him. The Redeemer and redemption itself from sin, death and hell. And with all my heart, I ask you, whatever else may be in your mind, in your heart or in your hands, let it go and take Jesus Christ. Amen.